Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. If you are looking for Psalm 1 in the Blue Bibles, page 448. Before returning to our series of studies in the Gospel according to Exodus, actually. Before returning to our studies in the book of Exodus, which we will do, Lord willing, on the first Sunday in February, we are now currently, in just a little mini-series, taking some time to take stock of our lives before the Lord, to take stock of how we are living our lives together before the Lord. We began to do this last week. Some of you remember this. Last week we looked at Jesus' parable of the soils, which, remember, often we come to a parable and we become the interpreter. We come and we are going to interpret the parable, but that's the parable actually that interprets us. As we work our way through the parable, it is interpreting us. Remember, this is the parable where Jesus teaches us that there are four different heart conditions among humanity with regard to his gospel. There's four different conditions of the heart. One was the uninterested heart, which in Jesus' parable was like that hard path that's been walked on forever, and as the seed falls on it, it can't be absorbed. It can't be received. It's a terrible thing to be the uninterested heart in Jesus' gospel. And then remember, secondly, we saw the shallow heart. The shallow heart, there are people in this world that are like that rock-hard base that's covered up by just a thin little shell of soil, and it looks like they're going to receive the seed of the gospel, but it only goes so far and can go no further. And that is a very superficial way to live before Jesus, a very self-trivializing way to live before Jesus, to pretend superficially to receive his gospel, but really we're not. Thirdly, we saw that there was this divided heart. Remember, that is the soil that is already so cluttered up with thorns and with weeds that it's impossible for something new to grow there. It's impossible for something good and healthy and nourishing to grow there unless the weeds and the thorns are first removed. We talked about that. And then finally, we saw that Jesus talked about a fruitful heart, which the Lord Christ described with these words. He said, there are some who, hearing the word of God, the word of the gospel, they hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So which heart are you? That was our question last week. The fruitful heart, that was last week. This week, we are continuing to take stock of our lives before the Lord, but this week we're looking at the wise life. The wise life. And we're going to do so from Psalm 1. Now, some of you, about a year and a half, 2 years ago or something like that, some of you were involved in a Bible study I taught in this room over here on a Wednesday night, and we looked at Psalm 1, and some of these words and teachings may sound like a little bit of a deja vu to you, but that's okay. Because again, like last week, this is one of those touchstone passages in the Bible that we need to come back to again and again and again. Psalm 1. Let me invite you to stand. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let us pray. O Lord, you are our God, and we wait upon you so that you might save us. And Lord, we pray that each and every time we open your word, that we may be glad and rejoice in your salvation all over again, and be glad and rejoice in all the different dimensions, all the lovely angles from which we can view and enter into the joy of your salvation. Lord, give us that experience today. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. there is this amazing claim, and it's right at the very heart of Christianity. You are probably familiar with it. There's this amazing claim right at the very heart of Christianity that in Jesus Christ, God is making people new. That's the claim. That in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, God is actually restoring. He's restoring men, and he's restoring women. He's restoring children. He's restoring whole communities of people. He is restoring them back to his own image after all the devastation, after all the ruin, after all the corruption that has come upon us because of sin, after all of that mess in our lives that sin has created, that sin has called forth and exacerbated. This is the claim of the Christian faith, that in Jesus Christ, God is making people new. But here's a question for you. Is that true? Is God really making people new through Jesus Christ? You know, there are lots of different categories from which to talk about these things that we're talking about last week and this week and one more to go. There's lots of different Bible categories from which to talk about this. Last week we talked about the heart, the fruitful heart. This week we're talking about your life, the wise life. A couple of Sundays from now we're going to talk about the self, the new self that Paul describes for us. But listen, today we're talking about the same thing, but we're talking about it from the perspective of wisdom. Wisdom. What is that all about? You know, how do you become wise? As many of you are, some of you in this room, you're the most wise people I've ever met. But how do you become wise? What does that look like? How does that happen? How can we be transformed from these foolish people that we are naturally in our sins into these wise people? What exactly is Jesus transforming us into when he makes us wise? How do you get wisdom? How do you grow into wisdom? How do you become wise? A wise man, a wise woman, a wise child, a wise community. How do you learn that? How would you answer all those questions? If somebody asked you all those questions, how would you answer? Or think about it this way. When you think of wisdom, what exactly are you thinking of? When you think of wisdom, what exactly do you think of? In Psalm 1, we see four qualities that walking in wisdom are going to require of us. These are just non-negotiable qualities that if we want to walk in wisdom, this is required. They all build upon each other. They're all interconnected together. Each one of them is very important. You can't just like, you know, major on three of them and ignore the one that doesn't come so easy to you. There's four qualities here that are required for us non-negotiably for people of wisdom. They're beautifully expressed here right in the very middle of your Bible, Psalm 1, which remember the Psalter, this is one of the premier books of wisdom in the Bible. It is the book of prayer that God has given you. It is the book of song that God has given you. It is the book of worship that God has given you. And this is the entryway, this expression of the life of wisdom. Let's look at this. There's four things. First one, the voice that we follow. The voice that we follow. You know, we said this last week actually too, that when we looked at the divided heart, remember that? We said that there are always going to be competitive voices in this world. There's always going to be temptations. There's always going to be distractions. There's always going to be this clutter of voices that are clamoring for your attention. That is always going to be the case in this world. Things that try to draw you away from the things that really, truly matter. But look at the first words of this psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. This psalm is going to continually be setting up these contrasts. There's all these contrasts going on in this psalm. And this is our first contrast right here, this contrast between two very different kinds of voices that we can listen to. There's the voice of this world. And when God describes the voice of this world here, he characterizes it with words like wickedness and sin and scoffing. Listen, you can listen to that voice. You can let that voice be the source that gives shape to your life in this world. You can do that. It's easy to do. Or you can listen to this other voice that the psalm here refers to as the law of the Lord. And you can let that voice, the voice of God, be the source that gives shape to your life in this world. Here's the question right now. Which voice are you listening to? Which voice will you follow in your life? The law of the Lord. In this context, that phrase is referring actually to all of God's word to his people. The whole of the Bible, the history, the story, the parable, the prophecy, the poetry, the epistle, the wisdom, it's referring to all of it. Listen, if you want to grow truly wise as a human being, here is the first step, according to Psalm 1. You must delight in all of God's word to his people. You must delight in the word of God that came to us in Eden. You must delight in the word of God that came to us through Moses and through Abraham and through David and through the prophets when they would stand up and say, "Thus says the Lord to you." And then most consummately, most ultimately, you must delight in the incarnate word of God that he sent to his people. Remember who the word in flesh is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the full and final word of God. Hebrews 1 says this, "Long ago, many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son." And if you want to be wise, you must delight in that. You must delight in all that Jesus said and all that Jesus did and in all that he sent his apostles into the world to say and to do in his name. Psalm 1 begins with this idea, "Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, the child, the community, that is not shaped by all the other voices in this world, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, the one who gives their full attention to the fullness of God's word that is always pointing us to Jesus, that's always consummated in Jesus Christ, slain for the sins of his people and risen as a sign of their justification before God." So let me ask you a question. Is that the ultimate and the fundamental voice in your life that you are following? The voice of Jesus Christ over against all the other voices in your life. Is it the voice of Jesus in the scriptures that you are seeking out, that you are listening to, that you are attending to, that you are wanting to obey and follow every day of your life? Now listen, before you answer that question for yourself, a lot of times I ask these sermonic questions, and if you're like me, when I'm sitting where you are, we just kind of breezily answer right, you know, the Sunday school answer, the right answer we're supposed to give. So we just kind of breeze right by the question. But before you do that with this question, let's take a moment. Let's take stock of all the voices that are actually in our heads. You know, if you're like most of us, you have all these influential voices that have formed your life. You know, there's a voice of your parents. There's the voice of your colleagues, whatever that means for you. That's certainly influential. There's a voice we pick up from culture, from media, voices from books and magazines and internet and television and movies and all the rest. There's the voice of your children that has an influence on your life more and more. And there's these two other voices that are ironic, but they're in everybody's hearts. There's the voice of the pride of your heart. And there's the voice of the shame of your heart. And all these voices, they're always clamoring for your attention. They're always calling out to you. One thing you have to realize if you want to take wisdom seriously, if you want to take Psalm 1 seriously, is that all of those voices and more, we could keep going, but all those voices more, they're always clamoring for your attention. They're always trying to teach you how to live your life in this world, which means that listening to the voice of Jesus most fundamentally, most ultimately, that is hard. That is difficult if you're taking it seriously. It's hard to do in this world. But that's what the text says. So men and women and children and community, listen, if we want to be wise, we must learn to delight in the voice of Jesus. So let's make this really practical here for a moment. How much time do you spend in your real life? I'm not talking about your pretend life, like that you bring out for Sunday school imagination, but you know, in your real life, not the ideal life, but in your real life, how much time do you spend listening to the voice of Jesus? And what I mean by that is opening this word and hearing the voice of Jesus therein. How much time do you spend doing that monthly? How much time weekly? How much time daily? This is where wisdom begins. This is step one of the psalm's vision of the wise man, the wise woman, the wise child, the wise community, one who is ordered and oriented around the voice of Jesus. And listen, if you struggle with opening this book to hear the voice of Jesus, if you struggle with even wanting to open that book, then listen, grab some more experienced Christian around you and just ask them for help. Say to them, hey, can you help me learn what it means to open this book and hear the voice of Jesus? What does that look like, actually? I don't know that I even know what that looks like. All four of these marks of the wise life, they always build on each other. They're always interconnected, but it all starts right here. Which voice are you really following out of all that are screaming at you? Second thing to look at today from this psalm, the habits that we cultivate. Not hobbits, as we mistakenly advertised last week, but habits, the habits that we cultivate in our life. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Take note of all those verbs right there. There is something very active going on here, right? So listen, wisdom is not just about, you know, passively listening to this voice and walking around with this voice in your head. Wisdom's not just about being passively listening to something. Wisdom's also about, it's something that you do. Wisdom is a kind of life that you live. The wise are known by their practices, by their habits. And again, we have a contrast here. Look at this. There are these people who walk, who stand, who sit in the counsel, in the way, in the seat of the wicked, and the sinners and the scornful. Or, in contrast to them, there's also these people who walk and stand and sit and meditate in the counsel and in the way and in the law of the Lord. This is another contrast. It's a contrast between the habits of folly and the habits of wisdom. And if you look at this and how this is developed in the rest of the Psalter, there's actually, here we have all these different types of habits that are referred to here. There's habits of action, right? Habits of our action, how we walk, how we live, our way of life. There's also habits of speech that are referred to here. Are we just scoffers? You know, just that kind of dismissive, scornful scoffing of things. Is that how we talk in this world? There's also habits of heart. What do you delight in? The psalm is asking you. What do you truly love? There's also habits of mind. What do you meditate upon? The psalm is asking. Habits of action, speech, heart, and mind. Again, allow me just to pose some questions to you as we try to take these matters seriously from the psalm and seeking to become a people of wisdom, a people who don't just think a certain way, but we live a certain way in our habits. Habits of mind. What are the habits of our mind? What are we meditating upon? Are you daily cultivating a constant attention to God's story in Jesus Christ? Are you giving yourselves to the contemplation and the meditation of that story? What is it that you are constantly feeding your mind and meditating upon? What's going on in your mind? You know, what is it that's going on in your mind? Is it just a constant series of YouTube videos or Facebook posts? You know, what is it that's going on in our minds? What are we feeding it? There's also habits of heart, what we love, what we delight in. What do you love? What do you delight in? Are we seeking to love the right things, the things that God loves? What are we drawn to? What is our heart drawn to? And you know, the older we get, the things that our hearts are drawn to, do they ever mature? Do they change? Are our affections maturing so that we are more and more fully delighting in God and in His work? Habits of heart. There's also habits of action. What sinful habits in your life are you working on renouncing more and more fully? When's the last time you just violently renounced a sinful habit in your life? What were the last new habits that you sought to embrace and cultivate in your life? What are we doing, in the words of Psalm 1, what are we doing day and night that is leading us either more and more in the way of folly or more and more in the way of wisdom? What are the habits of our life that we could change so that we might grow more wise? habits of action. And there's also habits of speech. The psalm talks about the scoffers, which is so easy to become a cynic. It's so easy to become a scoffer in this world, right? All of us, we're given to cynicism. We're given to scoffing. Are we learning more and more to replace the habits of cynical speech with the habits of a redeemed way of speaking in this world? Are we learning in our life where we need to just learn to be silent sometimes? And conversely, are we learning in our life where we need to find our voice and find our backbone and speak up sometimes, where it's cowardice that we are silent? Are we learning sometimes, I don't need to make people laugh all the time. I can speak more seriously to them. I can take people more seriously than that. Habits. These are all questions of our habits. When you wake up in the morning, what do you always do? About that midpoint of the day when there's some kind of break in your activity, what do you always do? As the afternoon is draining away and you're about to transition back to home life, what is it that you always do? When you're at home and you have those hours at your disposal every night before you fall into bed, what is it that you always do? Habits of life. What are your habits of life? God speaks to us about these matters throughout the scriptures. And when he speaks to us, it's always with this tone. I have saved you. I have delivered you. Now come follow me. I have rescued you. I have redeemed you. Now live this way. Imitate me. Imitate my way of life. Don't just merely listen to my words, but walk. Live in my ways. You know, sometimes for all of these, you know, good Christian lives that we are living, we tell ourselves we're living, sometimes if we just take a good, honest, and just a clear-eyed view of our habits in life, we see our habits are really no different from non-believers' habits in life. Our habits are sometimes even a wreck. They're a mess. We need some new habits because our habits shape us. Our habits shape how we live. Think about that. What habits of your life are shaping how you live? As you keep reading about this in the Psalms, there are certain habits that the Psalter itself will start to try to cultivate within you. Habits of reading the Scriptures, habits of regular prayer. The Psalms is regular prayer for the Christian, right? Habits of taking people more seriously. All people in your life, unbelievers and believers' life, taking them all more seriously. Habits of diving into more meaningful fellowship with people and not just the same old all the time. Habits of formative reading and experiences as a Christian. These four things, they all build on each other. And listen, wisdom is not just about the voice that you follow. It's also about the habits of your life, what you're doing in your life. Thirdly, there is the community that we inhabit. The community that we inhabit. And this is also very important because, listen, unlike what is often the world's view of wisdom in the Bible, wisdom is not just this private, individual self-improvement project where you go up on a mountain and you come down and you're wise all of a sudden. You know, wisdom is not like that in the Bible. In the Bible, the forming of wisdom and the living out of what the Bible means by wisdom, it is this community deal. It is bound up in the life of a community. There's all this one anothering going on in wisdom when you study wisdom in the Bible. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, we have another contrast. And this time it's a contrast between two different communities. The contrast is kind of vague in this first psalm, but this first psalm is the entryway into all the Psalter. And you keep reading the Psalter, and these two communities become more and more vivid and more colorful, both of them. Listen, there's two communities here in verse 5. There's the community of the wicked. And listen, you got to understand this. When the Bible speaks about the wicked, it does not mean the sinners. If that's all it meant, then that would be everybody, right? Because we're all sinners, and just Jesus would be over here all by himself. But the community of the wicked is not sinners because that's everybody. But when the Bible talks about the wicked, and it does often, especially in Psalms, it's referring to those who have chosen to remain in their sin. It's referring to those who have not come to God with repentance of their sins. They're not seeking God's mercy, God's grace, God's forgiveness, the embrace of his love. They're not seeking that. They have no intention of seeking that. They do not want to follow God in this world. That is what the Bible calls the community of the wicked. It's those who continue to reject God and they continue to refuse his ways. Listen, you can inhabit that community in this world. It's very easy to do. and it will shape you, and it will not be for the good. Contrasting that, there's also this community of the righteous. And again, let me be very emphatically clear about this. When the Bible talks about the community of the righteous, it's not talking about a bunch of perfect people, because those people do not exist, right? We're all sinners. But the community of the righteous, the Bible does talk about that. Look at it, it's verse 5 right here, the congregation of the righteous. Well, who are these righteous people if we're all sinners? Who is this referring to? In the Bible, the righteous are those who have heard God's voice, and they have come to God. And they have come to God repenting of their sin, laying their sin down. And they've come to God believing in Jesus Christ and receiving the offer, embracing the offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And they're now seeking to follow Jesus and live with him in this world. In the New Testament, this community is called the church. That's what this community is called. It's the body of Christ. It's the household of God. In Psalm 1, it's the congregation of the righteous. We call it today the church. That's what it's called. And this is the community where you learn wisdom. It's the church. Let me ask you some more questions. What is the fundamental relational framework of your life? I'm not asking about all of your relationships in life, but the fundamental relationships that frame who you really are. What's the fundamental relational framework of your life? Who are the people, when you think of them, you say, those are my people. I'm one of them. They are part of me. Those are my people. That's my family. Those are the people that I call mother and father and brother and sister and so forth. What is the community? What are the friendships that most shape you? Is it the church? Are you truly giving yourself to the body of Christ, the household of God, the family of believers? Or are you kind of hanging on to the outside of the church, and occasionally when you feel the need to kind of be a consumer of religious feelings or religious ideas, you jump into the life of the church, but then you kind of come back out and just kind of hang on to the edge until you feel the need to consume some religious feelings again? Listen, that whole idea of being on the edge and just kind of a consumer, that is not what God had in mind when he established the church. Not at all. The church is this multi-generational community of people that is seeking to grow in wisdom together. And we're seeking to help each other grow to be these wise people that we're meant to be. Some of us need to stop hanging on to the outside of the church and give ourselves to the body of Christ. Because listen, wisdom is not just about the voice that you follow. Wisdom is not just about the things that you do. Wisdom is also, it is formed and it is lived out inside of a community. That's also where wisdom comes from in the Bible. Fourthly, last one. The future that we anticipate. The future that we anticipate. This is also so important. Because listen, the future that you anticipate yourself for yourself, that ends up driving how you live your life in this world today. The future that you are anticipating for yourself, it ends up driving the choices that you are making for yourself today. Listen, if there is some promised good at the end of this road, but I'm on this road right now, and this road is hard right now, and it is suffering, and it is difficult, and it is lonely sometimes. But if there's some promised good at the end of this road, that helps me keep on that road. And that's part of what Psalm 1 is doing for you. It's reminding you of that promised good at the end of this road. Listen to how the psalm describes the future, the presence, and the future of wisdom. Look at this. It is blessed. It is like a tree planted by streams of water. It is yielding its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The Lord knows the righteous. The Lord loves the righteous and comes to make his home with the righteous. And the righteous will stand in the judgment. At the last day, the righteous will stand in the judgment of God. Now listen to how this psalm describes the future of folly. It's like chaff that the wind just drives away. You will not, the foolish will not stand in the judgment, because the way of the wicked will perish. Do you see how the psalm is orienting everybody towards one future or another? It's another contrast. There's a future that is nothingness. There's a future that is empty. It's the chaff driven away. It's all about exclusion. It's all about death. And there's a future fullness. There's a future abundance. It's about blessedness and life and fruit and prospering and growth. It's a tree, not chaff, but a tree deeply rooted and planted. It's about being included in this community, included in the congregation. It's about being known by God, meaning that God loves you and comes to make his life with you. Listen, one of these pictures that this psalm gives us, the picture of chaff, it is the fruit and it is the future of folly. And one of these pictures that this psalm gives us, the tree, it is the great and glorious and beautiful fruit and future of wisdom. And God has always spoken to his people in this way as well. He's always oriented them towards one of two possible futures. It starts in the Garden of Eden. Do this and you will live. Do this and you will die. It continues all the way through. You get to Moses and you have God saying to his people through Moses, I have made my covenant with you. It's this glorious and beautiful, joyful, gracious covenant. And if you keep this covenant with me, you will have blessing. It will be blessing to you. If you break this covenant with me, it will be curse for you. It's God speaking to his people all the time through the prophets in the Old Testament, saying to his people, thus says the Lord, return to me and you will live. Continue to reject me and you will be cut off. You come to Jesus. This is Jesus' way of speaking to people as well. He speaks of those who have passed from death to life. He speaks of those who are still in death. The book of Hebrews says that those who are still in death, they have no future to look forward to except for the fearful expectation of judgment. But those who have passed to life, those who are in Christ, it's life, and it's life abundant. It's my last question for you this morning. What is the future that is driving you? What is the engine that drives you? What does your life revolve around? There's so many options. Your life can revolve around beauty. Your life can revolve around money. Your life can revolve around sex. Your life can revolve around achievement. Your life can revolve around entertainment. Your life can revolve around status or something like that. What is it that gets you up in the morning? Or the future that gets you up in the morning, the future that drives you, can also be the resurrected life that is promised to God's people through Jesus Christ. The life of resurrection, where all is made new. That could be the thing that drives you towards wisdom in this life. We need to think about these things. We need to help each other think about these things as part of what it means to be in community with each other. What is our hope? What's our hope of becoming wise people? Even though we blow it all the time, right? We fail at it all the time. Every day I fail to be wise. But what's our hope that gradually, in God's grace, we are becoming wise people? It is this, that we are coming to Jesus Christ. He is the one who graciously pursues us, and he continues to pursue us in our folly, that we are coming to Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, look, we are listening. We are learning how to listen to his voice and follow his voice. And in Jesus Christ, in this world, we are learning more and more how to cultivate his way of life in our habits. And in Jesus Christ, in this world, we are learning more and more to embrace more of his people, of his body, of his community. And in Jesus Christ, in this world, we are learning more and more what it means to be encouraged and to encourage each other in the future that God has promised to his people. In the Bible, that is a very large part. Psalm 1, this is the doorway to the Psalter. This is in many ways the doorway into what it means to be the people of wisdom that God has called us to be. Let us pray. Lord, it is a dangerous thing in many ways for a foolish man like me to stand up and talk about wisdom when I fail at wisdom every day. But Lord, we don't look to me or to each other ultimately. We look to Jesus, our true wisdom. We look to him together. Jesus is the one who is always wise. Jesus is the one who never walked in the counsel of the wicked. He never stood in the way of sinners. He never sat in the seat of scoffers. He is the one who truly delighted in the law of the Lord and meditated upon it day and night. He is the one who flourishes forever like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding fruit, never withering, always prospering. And he is the one who now is calling us to himself so that we too can grow wise and stand together in the judgment as the congregation of the righteous, those who are known and loved by you. Lord, we repent of our folly. There is so much of it. Please help us to become more and more a people of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.